This is the Feast of Tabernacles, and shalom to you. Thank you very much for joining us, and this can be used any day of the feast, but we are just after the high day, and you may cook on this day, and servile work is permitted, but not advised to get back into your old routines. But in staying with the theme of the feast, looking forward to being in the millennium with the Messiah, and after this preparation we're doing, this rehearsal for the bride of Messiah, getting ready for the husbandman, yes. And that is the Messiah, the son of Yahweh. Yahweh is the Father, Yahusha is the Son. And we're going to be reading from scriptures, mainly out of the King James, and correcting the words where needed back to the original from the Hebrew text, going back to the Hebrew text, that is, and using the correct words there as much as possible. And so here we have in Matthew 5, Matthew 6, and Matthew chapter 11. And then on to Luke. We'll also be reading from Zechariah, and many, many other scriptures here. And you're certainly welcome to have your favorite beverage within reason and discretion. Not any beer or hard drinks or anything. No whiskey in here. We don't want that. This is not a tavern. That's the one down the street there, I think. But we enjoy being out in the wilderness in Yahweh's presence in a very devout and humble spirit. Or not to take anything lightly, being in his presence in the throne room. We don't slam down and pop the top in Yahweh's throne room, symbolically speaking here. And we hope that that's an acceptable rule for you. We don't have many rules. You know, there's 1,000 rules in the New Testament. Matthew 5:48 has that imperative, become perfect even as your Father, which is in heaven, is perfect. Be perfect, or become perfect even as your Father is perfect, the Father in heaven. Praise Yahweh. And then Matthew 6:33, as we prepare for the bridegroom, for Messiah to come and take us away and have that great wedding supper there. Matthew 6:33, as Messiah is speaking, but seek you first the kingdom of Elohim and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. And that will be brought out even in a greater depth or a deeper thought there in a moment here. Seek first the kingdom of Yahweh, which is in the Gospels here, Matthew, Matityahu chapter 11. Now, verse 25, as you can turn with us. And we also have those notes on the internet, on YahvahYahweh.name. That's www.YahvahYahweh.name. Matthew 11:25. And Yahusha is speaking again. Messiah is speaking. Some, of course, are referring to him as Yeshua, which is in the text, or Joshua. At that time, Yahusha answered and said, I thank thee, O Father, Master of heaven and earth, because thou hast hidden these things from the wise and prudent, and hast revealed them unto babes. Even so, Father, for so it seemed good in thy sight, all things are delivered unto me of my Father. And no man knows the Son but the Father, neither knows any man the Father save the Son, and he to whomsoever the Son will reveal him. Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden. So that was the end of the prayer to the Father by Yahusha the Son, or Yeshua the Son. Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Messiah said that, and inviting us to enter into his rest. Hebrews tells us in chapter 4 that they would not enter into his rest about the seventh day, referring to the seventh day Shabbat. Now, the next scripture verse, by the way, is, and specifically, not only by the way, but Luke 12. And then we'll go start around verse 22 that I told you a few minutes ago, or a little more in depth of how shall we seek the kingdom of Yahweh. So, Luke chapter 12, and he said unto his disciples, there you're in verse 22 now, therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, take no thought for your life, what you shall eat, neither for the body, what you shall put on. Life is more than meat, and the body is more than raiment. Or the body is more than the outer, the clothing, or the flesh. Verse 24, consider the ravens, for they neither sow nor reap, which neither have storehouse nor barn, and Elohim feedeth them. How much more are you better than the fowls? And of which of you, with taking thought, can add to his stature one cubit? You can't, according to Messiah, lift yourself up by your own bootstraps. You can't raise your self-esteem one iota, one stature, one cubit. Which of you, taking thought, can add to a stature one cubit? If you then be not able to do that thing which is least, why do you take thought for the rest? Consider the lilies, how they grow. They toil not, they spin not, and yet I say unto you that Solomon, in all his splendor, Solomon, in all his splendor, was not arrayed like one of these. If then Elohim so clothe the grass, which is today in the field, and tomorrow is cast into the oven, how much more will he clothe you, you of little faith? And seek not you what you shall eat, what you shall drink, neither be you of a doubtful mind. Let us emphasize that. Don't be of a doubtful mind. For all these things do the nations of the world seek after. Yes, we're casting all of our cares upon him, leaving them behind. All of the mundane, routine, secular things, generally, we're leaving that behind back at the office. For all these things do the nations of the world seek after, what you shall eat and drink, and being of doubtful minds, and being obsessed and perplexed by all the news headlines. But for all these things the nations of the world seek after, and your Father knows that you have need of these things, but rather seek you the kingdom of Elohim, and all these things shall be added unto you. Let's go to the book of Psalms next, or Tehillim. In the first Psalm, and let's make sure the sound man has everything under control there in the studios. Yes, looks good to me. So, sound man says, yes, it's all good. And we're thankful for the feast. Remember how we read yesterday, or at the beginning of this feast, how that we are to bring branches and wave them before Yahweh each day of the feast, not just on the high days, or to neglect the whole ritual, but to every day to praise Yahweh. And we can lift, raise the branches, or what you might have purchased, perhaps, the lulav, which is very wonderful at the feast as well. Okay, Mizmor chapter 1, or Psalm 1. Blessed is the man that walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. But here, his delight is in the law of Yahweh, or in the Torah of Yahweh. And in his Torah does he meditate night and day. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bring forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he does shall prosper. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind drives away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment. They'll not stand up well, will they? Nor will sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For Yahweh knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. And then in Mizmor chapter 2, and we're going to go through all 12 verses. Why do the heathen rage, and the people imagine a vain thing? The kings of the earth set themselves, and the rulers take counsel together against Yahweh, and against his anointed, against the Messiah, We see a lot today of putting away the idea of the Messiah, that people say, well, all we need is our own religion or our own spirituality or our own guru or someone like that or some prophetic leader. But no, we need first and foremost and always the King of Kings, to the governor, the ruler, the master, the lover, the husband, Yahovah, and his son. So once again there, why do the kings of the earth set themselves and the rulers take counsel together against Yahweh and against his anointed as well? So I remember his anointed saying, let us break their bands asunder and cast away their cords from us. He that sits in the heavens shall laugh. So that's the Father, Yahovah. He that sits in the heavens shall laugh. Yahweh or Yahovah shall have them in derision. Then shall he speak unto them in his wrath and vex them in his sore displeasure. So it's not just universal salvation. It's not just that everybody is going to go to heaven. Verse 6, yet I have set my king upon my separated hill, my pure hill of Zion. I will declare the decree. Yahweh has said unto me, thou art my son. This day have I begotten thee. And the son here could be David. Ask of me, and I will give thee the heathen for thine inheritance, and the uttermost parts of the earth for thy possession. Thou shalt break them with a rod of iron. Thou shalt dash them in pieces like a potter's vessel. Be wise, therefore, now, O you kings. Now, this is referring to you as well, as a believer. You are kings and priests. Be now wise, O you kings. Be instructed, you judges of the earth. Yes, you could even be a judge. Serve Yahweh with fear and rejoice with trembling. Kiss the Son. So here we are speaking of the Anointed One, the Messiah who died for us on the tree at Calvary. Kiss the Son, lest he be angry and you perish from the way when his wrath is kindled but a little. Blessed are all they that put their trust in him. So we've read the Psalm or Mizmor 2. Now to Mizmor 93, first two verses. Yahweh reigns. There it is in Tehillim, or Psalm 93. Yahweh reigns. He is clothed with majesty. Yahweh is clothed with strength, wherewith he has girded himself. The world also is established, that it can't be moved. Thy throne is established of old. Thou art from everlasting. The floods have lifted up, O Yahweh, the floods have lifted up their voice. The floods lift up their waves. Oh, yes, how we have prayed for those in the south, in North America, the United States, for those flood victims who were in the wrong place at the wrong time, and mercy on them and their families. So the floods lift up their waves. Yahweh on high is mightier than the noise of many waters. Yes, than the mighty waves of the sea. Then let's go to Psalm 147. Mizmor 147 with all 20 verses. All of 20. Here on this great Feast of Tabernacles. Not the last great day, but this is for one of the so-called common days of the Feast of Tabernacles. And, boy, this is a Tree of Life version. The font is very small for me, but let me see. Hallel Yahweh. How good it is to sing praises to our Elohim. And they used G-O-D, by the way, but I change it to its proper Hebrew rendition. How good it is to sing praises to Elohim, how pleasant and fitting is praise. And then they put the word Adonai, which does not belong in there. If we went to the King James, we'd find out it probably is Lord there. So if it says Lord or Adonai, then it should be properly rendered from the Hebrew text. It should be rendered as Yahweh. Yahweh builds up Jerusalem. He gathers together the exiles of Israel. He heals the brokenhearted and binds up their wounds. So that's the Father. Of course, through his Son, sometimes using the messengers as well, commonly called angels. He gathers together He heals the brokenhearted and binds up our wounds. Boy, I could sure use that binding of the wounds. Spiritual and mental wounds that we've had. We've been torn and smitten, but Yahweh will lift us up in that second day, the 7,000th year is coming. The millennium is coming. The 1,000-year reign of Messiah on earth as he reigns with his kings and priests out there, whoever you are, starting with the apostles. He determines the number of the stars and gives them all their names. He calls each one by their names. Great is Yahweh. And there they used, sadly, the, and I can't say unfortunately, but anyway, they did use Lord there, but it should be, if you were to look that up, it should be Yahweh. Great is our Yahweh, and mighty in power. His understanding is infinite. Yahweh upholds the humble. He brings the wicked to the ground. Sing to Yahweh with thanksgiving. Sing praises to our Elohim on the harp. He covers the sky with clouds. He provides rain for the earth. He makes grass sprout on the hills. He gives food to the cattle and to the young ravens which cry. He delights not in the horse's strength, nor takes pleasure in a man's legs. Yahweh delights in those who revere him, and those who trust in his loving kindness. Exalt Yahweh, O Jerusalem. Praise your Elohim, O Zion. Praise Elohim, commonly referred to as God. That's the common term, which is from a questionable source, at the very least. Praise Elohim, O Zion, for he strengthens the bars of your gates. He blesses your children within you. He puts shalom within your borders. He satisfies you with the finest wheat. He sends earth his command. His word runs swiftly. He gives snow like wool. He scatters frost like ashes. That's white wool. I see dyed wool, of course, of all different colors, but referring to natural wool off the sheep. He hurls down his hail like pebbles. Who can stand before his cold? He sends forth his wind, He sends forth his word and melts them and makes his wind blow and waters flow. And we shall see that. There'll be some snow on the, or at least after, hopefully, the last great day in the mountains. And he makes his wind blow and waters flow. He declares his word to Jacob. He declares his decrees and his rulings to Israel. He has not done so with any other nation. They have not known his judgments. Hallel Yahovah. That was all 20 verses of Mizmor 147. Then, shall we go to Jeremiah, or Yeremiahu, is more properly spoken there, or Yeremiah, chapter 32, and take out the word Lord and put in Yahovah, if you have that there. Try to, if you can, put the correction, Y-A-H-V-A-H, and then I'll save it, so that on the website it'll be correct. In some cases it'll only be closer, because that's as good as I can do. Okay, has everybody got Yeremiahu? Yeremiah chapter 32, verse 17. Ah, Yahweh, Elohim, behold, thou hast made the heaven and the earth by thy great power and thy stretched out arm, and there is nothing too hard for thee. Isn't that a beautiful song? Beautiful psalm and song. Ah, Yahweh, thou hast made the heaven and the earth by thy great power. Ah, Yahweh, thou hast made the heaven and the earth by thy outstretched arm. Nothing is too difficult for thee. Thou showest loving kindness unto thousands, and recompensest the iniquity of the fathers into the bosom of their children after them. The great and mighty Elohim. And by the way, in the King James there it said recompensest. Oh, you don't need to stretch it out that far to try to pronounce it. And that's probably the only time I could ever correctly pronounce that, but he recompenses the iniquity of the fathers, the sin of the fathers, into the bosom of their children after them. The great and the mighty Elohim, Yahweh, Yahweh of hosts is his name. Great in counsel and mighty in work, mighty indeed. For thine eyes are open upon all the ways of the sons of men, to give every one according to his ways, and according to the fruit of their doings. And that could be male or female. Verse 27, it says, Behold, I am Yahweh, the Elohim of all flesh. Is there anything too hard for me? Here in Jeremiah 32:28. Now we're going to go to 37, verse 37. 32:37. Behold, I will gather them out of all countries where I have driven them in my anger and in my fury and in great wrath. And I will bring them again unto this place. So after the diaspora, there is that great gathering together, uniting the two sticks of Israel and the southern kingdom of Yehuda. I will gather them in great wrath. I will bring them into this place, and I'll cause them to dwell safely, and they shall be my people, and I will be their Elohim. And I will give them one heart and one way, that they may fear me forever, for the good of them and of their children after them. And I will make an everlasting covenant with them, that I will not turn away from them to do them good, but I will put my fear in their hearts, that they should not depart from me. Yes, I will rejoice over them to do them good, and I will plant them in this land assuredly with my whole heart and with my soul, my whole soul. So there we are. We are returning to the land that Yahweh has given to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, through Moses, when he gave the administration of the civil law, and then all the blessings of Abraham that we've inherited, even brought out in the book of Galatians, that we've inherited Yahweh's blessings all the way going back through time to the very beginning. And so here we are, we're carrying it on outward. He is continuing to bless us. Isn't it wonderful that we've found a way that Yahweh has provided by his unmerited favor? We have found such a wonderful way for him to... No, we didn't find a way. What am I... He found the way for us to come up here. Some of you went down, but we came up here to the feast up in the mountains, and we're rejoicing and waving the branches and the lulav, and some are dancing, some are kneeling, and some are sitting, some are standing. But we were all rejoicing in our hearts and looking at above to the heavens and looking at the smiles on each other's great countenance, wonderful, beautiful reflections of Yahweh's inhabiting the praises of his people. And we can lift up our separated hands, lifting up pure and kodesh hands, it should be the Hebrew word, and if it makes difference to you, lifting him up unto Yahweh, not so that somebody could look at us, except for Yahweh, that he looks at us, and praise his name always, not only during the feast, but at all times, praise his name forever. And the next scripture verse, remember, is chapter 33 now of Yirmiyahu. And this is Yahweh's word. So, let's all be in a reverent attitude right now. Behold, verse 6. Behold, I will bring it health and cure. I will cure them and will reveal unto them the abundance of peace and truth. Reading here from the King James. And I will cause the captivity of Yehuda and the captivity of Israel to return, and will build them as at the first. And I will cleanse them from all their iniquity, whereby they have sinned against me, and I will pardon all their iniquities, whereby they have sinned, whereby they have transgressed against me. And it shall be to me a name of joy, a praise and an honor before all the nations of the earth, which shall hear all the good that I do unto them. And they shall fear and tremble for all the goodness and for all the prosperity that I procure unto it. Thus saith Yahuwah, again, there shall be heard in this place which you say shall be desolate without man and without beast, even in the cities of Yehuda and in the streets of Jerusalem, that are desolate without man and without inhabitant and without beast, the voice of joy, as we, there it is, the verb, we'll hear the voice of joy and the voice of gladness and the voice of the bridegroom and the voice of the bride, the voice of them that shall say, praise Yahweh of armies, praise Yahweh of hosts, for Yahweh is good, for his mercy endures forever, and of them that shall bring the sacrifice of praise into the house of Yahweh. Hope you brought your special offerings during the feast, and it's just, you know, whatever you would pray about. And bring that offering of praise to the house of Yahweh. Continuing, for I will cause to return the captivity of the land, as at the first, saith Yahweh. That's another term there for returning the captivity of the land, that they're going to return to the land, not return to be in bondage again or captivity, but that's how it's described. You're returning the captivity. And some didn't know that. Thus saith Yahweh of hosts, again in this place, which is desolate without man and without beast, and in all the cities thereof shall be a habitation of shepherds, causing their flocks to lie down. In the cities of the mountains, in the cities of the vale, and in the cities of the south, and in the land of Benjamin, the places about Jerusalem, and in the cities of Yehuda, or Judah, shall the flocks pass again under the hands of him that tells them, saith Yahweh, behold, the days come, saith Yahweh, that I will perform that good thing which I have promised unto the house of Israel and to the house of Yehuda. House of Judah there, the southern kingdom. In those days and at that time I will cause the branch of righteousness to grow up unto David. Now we're speaking here, or he is speaking here, of the Messiah, the Anointed One, spoken of in Isaiah chapter 9. And I will cause the branch of righteousness to grow up unto David, and he shall execute judgment and righteousness in the land. In those days shall Judah be saved, and Jerusalem shall dwell safely. And this is the name wherewith she shall be called, Yahweh Tzidkenu, or Yahweh our righteousness. Yahweh Tzidkenu, spelled with Izadi, or in English, Roman numerals with and letters with a T. Yahweh Tzidkenu. Then I'm going to go to the Tree of Life version again and hope that that reads well. The King James is also excellent, not only poetically, but in almost every way, except for where all these different versions never change to the right Hebrew name that's in the Hebrew text, which you can find easily. For those of you who haven't explored on the bookstores or on the internet, that you can easily get the Hebrew lexicon, the Greek lexicon. You can get the concordance, and when it's on software, it's really easy to be able to just point, and then you can even click and find out what the Hebrew word is, and then it'll even define it for you. For those of who are not in the know, now we are in the know, right? Psalm, so Mizmor 126, all, the joyful restoration of Zion. And it's a song of ascents. So verse 1, when Yahweh restored the captives of Zion, it was as if we were dreaming. Then our mouth was filled with laughter, and our tongue with a song of joy. Then they said among the nations, Yahweh has done great things for them. Yahweh has done great things for us. We are joyful. Restore us from captivity, Yahweh, like streams in the Negev. Those who sow in tears will reap with a song of joy. Whoever keeps going out weeping, carrying his bag of seed, will surely come back with a song of joy, carrying his sheaves. That's Mizmor 126. Let's go to 96. Go back to Psalm 96. I love that Psalm 91 there, especially for feast days. We are doing the mitzvah and the judgments. We're doing the halakha. We're doing the moedim. We're doing Yahweh's perfect way, his set feasts. Trying to come up with the word for the traveling feast days and the great high days of Yahweh. I've said it before, but right now I can't think of it. Mizmor 96, singing a new song. All 13 verses. Sing to Yahweh a new song. Sing to Yahweh all the earth. Sing to Yahweh, bless his name. Proclaim the good news of his salvation from day to day. Declare his splendor among the nations. I changed the word glory to its proper rendition. Declare his splendor, his marvelous deeds among all peoples. For great is Yahweh, and greatly to be praised. He is to be feared above all Elohim. And I changed, that was incorrect, they put gods there. For all the Elohim of the people are idols, but Yahweh made the heavens. Splendor and majesty are before him. But this time they used splendor correctly, splendor and majesty. Strength and beauty are in his set-apart Mikdash, or sanctuary. Ascribe to Yahweh, O families of peoples, ascribe to Yahweh splendor and strength. Ascribe to Yahweh the splendor of his name. Bring an offering and come into his courts. Bow down to Yahweh in pure splendor. Yes, tremble before him all the earth. Say among the nations, Yahweh reigns. It will not move. He will judge the people with fairness. Let the heavens be glad. Let the earth rejoice. Let the earth rejoice. Let the sea roar and all that fills it. Let the land exult and all that is in it. Then all the trees of the forest will sing for joy. Those probably symbolic trees, meaning the nations, or at least meaning the people who love Yahweh. Then all the trees of the forest will sing for joy before Yahweh, for he is coming. He is coming to judge the earth. He will judge the world with righteousness and the peoples in his faithfulness. That was in Mizmor 96. Now, we're not supposed to curse Jerusalem, according to the scriptures, if they are our sovereign authority. The scriptures say this in Psalm 122, Mizmor 122, a song of ascents, ascending there, praying for the peace of Jerusalem. I rejoiced when they said to me, let us go to the house of Yahweh. Our feet are standing in your gates. Jerusalem, Jerusalem, built as a city, joined together. There the tribes go up, the tribes of Yahweh, as a testimony to Israel, to praise the name of Yahweh. There's our primary mission, praising the name of Yahweh. For there, thrones for judgment are set up, the thrones of the house of David. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. May those who love you be at peace. May there be shalom within your walls, quietness within your palaces. For the sake of my brothers and friends, I now say, shalom be within you. For the sake of the house of Yahweh, our Elohim, I will seek your good. No, that's okay. So from the west they will fear the name of Yahweh and his splendor from the rising of the sun, for he will come like a rushing stream driven along by the Ruach, Yahweh. Let's see how that reads in the King James. When the enemy shall come in like a flood, the Spirit of Yahweh shall lift up a standard against him. Well, that's far superior in the verbiage there. When the enemy shall come in like a flood, the Spirit of Yahweh shall lift up a standard against him, and the Redeemer shall come to Zion, and unto them that turn from transgression in Jacob, saith Yahuwah. And then back to the Tree of Life, leaving the King James for a moment. But a Redeemer will come to Zion, and to those in Jacob who turn from transgression. It is a declaration of Yahweh. As for me, this is my covenant with them, says Yahweh. My spirit, my ruach, who is in on you, and my words that I have put in your mouth shall not depart from your mouth or from the mouth of your offspring or from the mouth of your children's offspring, says Yahweh, from now on and forever. Then Yeshayahu chapter 60. Arise, shine, O Zion. Arise, shine, for your light has come. The splendor of Yahweh has risen on you. For behold, darkness covers the earth, and deep darkness the peoples. But Yahweh will arise upon you, and his splendor will appear over you. Nations will come to your light. Kings to the brilliance of your rising. Kings will come to the brilliance of your rising. Lift up your eyes and look all around. They all gather. They come to you. Your sons will come from far away, your daughters carried on the hip. Then you will see and be radiant, and your heart will throb and swell with joy, for the abundance of the sea will be turned over to you. The wealth of nations will come to you. A multitude of camels will cover you. Young camels of Midian and Ephah and all those from Sheba will come. They will bring gold and frankincense and proclaim the praises of Yahweh. All Kedar's flocks, Kedar, flocks will be gathered to you. And then you could continue reading throughout there. And then we're going to go, let's go to verse 9. Surely the islands will hope in me, with the ships of Tarshish in the lead, to bring your sons from afar, their silver and gold with them, for the name of Yahweh your Elohim, and for the pure name, and the pure one of Israel, because he has glorified you, or magnified his name in you. Foreigners will build your walls, and they'll build up your walls, and your kings will minister to you. For in my fury I struck you, but in my favor I will show you mercy. Your gates will be open continually. They will not be shut night or day, so that men may bring to you the wealth of the nations, with their kings led in procession. For the nation and the kingdom which will not serve you will perish. These nations will be utterly ruined. And read on there if you like. Let's go to 15 now. That was verse 12 there. And 15 through 22. And I hope that this Tree of Life version is tracking the King James with the same numbers, because if it isn't, I don't know. So check your scriptures to see if this is 15 or not. Instead of deserted and hated, no one passing through. Instead of being deserted and hated, no one passing through, I will make you an eternal pride, joy from generation to generation. You'll also suck the milk of nations and nurse at the breast of kings. Then you will know that I, Yahweh, am your Savior and your Redeemer, the Mighty One of Jacob. Instead of bronze, I will bring gold. Instead of iron, I will bring silver. Instead of wood, bronze. And instead of stones, iron. I will make Shalom your overseer and righteousness your taskmasters. No more will violence be heard in your land, devastation nor destruction within your borders, but you will call your walls salvation, and your gates you'll call praise. No more will the sun be your light by day, nor the glow of the moon be your light, but Yahweh will be your everlasting light, and your Elohim for your splendor. Verse 20, no more will your sun set, nor will your moon wane, for Yahweh will be your everlasting light, as the days of your morning end, Then your people will all be righteous. They will possess the land forever, the branch of his planting, the work of my hands, that I may be magnified. The smallest will become a thousand, and the least will become a mighty nation. I, Yahweh, will hasten it in its time. And then next is Isaiah, or Yeshayahu 61. And reading the entire passage here of 11 verses. And hope you're doing well up there. We are up here in the mountains, just up above the Mackenzie River. A beautiful country, but wherever you might be, whether in Branson or in Tennessee or Roachport or Florida or way up in the Adirondacks, wherever you might be, just celebrating the feast, or maybe you're in Hawaii, or even freezing in keeping the feast up in Alaska. And I want to look into that someday, because I feel so brave about it. No, just because I want to experience what that would be like. I'm sure it'd be cold up there. Isaiah 61, the Spirit of Yahweh Elohim is on me, because Yahweh has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and the opening of the prison to those that are bound, to proclaim the year of Yahweh's favor and the day of Yahweh's vengeance, of our Elohim's vengeance, to comfort all who mourn, to console those who mourn in Zion, to give them beauty for ashes and the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. We get to exchange ashes and mourning and spirit of heaviness and all that stuff that weighs us down, that they may be called, or you might be called, oaks of righteousness, the planting of Yahweh, that he may be magnified. They will rebuild the ancient ruins. They will restore former desolations. They will repair the ruined cities, the desolations of many generations. Strangers will stand and shepherd your flocks. Children of foreigners will be your plowmen and vine dressers. But you will be called the Kohanim of Yahweh, or the people of Yahweh. They will speak of you as the ministers of our Elohim, and you will eat the wealth of nations and boast in their abundance. Instead of your shame, you'll have a double portion. Instead of disgrace, they will sing for joy. You will sing for joy. Isn't that great? And this is yet to happen, to be fulfilled. They will sing for joy. Therefore, in their land, they will inherit a double portion, and they will have everlasting joy. That song, an everlasting joy shall be upon their heads. Therefore, the redeemed of Yahweh will return with his people. And unto Zion, everlasting joy will be upon our heads. So, and that was from the song. So back to Isaiah 61, verse 8. For I, Yahweh, love justice. I hate robbery and the burnt offering. In faithfulness I will reward my people and cut an eternal covenant with them. Then their offspring will be known among the nations, their descendants among the peoples. All who see them will recognize them, for they are the seed that Yahweh has blessed. I will rejoice greatly in Yahweh. My soul will be joyful in Elohim. He has clothed me with garments of salvation. Actually, we should change that to my soul will be joyful in my mighty one. He has clothed me with garments of salvation. He has wrapped me in a robe of righteousness. Here it is. We're getting right down to the real thing, the robes of righteousness spoken of in the Gospel of Matthew. Like a bridegroom wearing a priestly turban. So wearing of hats is good. Like a bride adorning herself with her jewels. For as the earth brings forth its sprouts, and as a garden causes things sown to spring up, so Yahweh Elohim will cause justice and praise, or a better word for justice would be right ruling, will cause right ruling and praise to spring up before all the nations. So there you have it in Isaiah 61, and then there is a warning in the book of Romans that we're to be aware of Yahweh's judgments, of his judgments for those who do not want to follow along and keep his feast days, for those who don't want to be in his presence, to those who do not look forward. No, why am I saying this? You're not going to do that. Revelation chapter 20 now, please. And Revelation 20, verse 11, and then we're going to skip that Romans 1 that's in the notes there. Okay, well, that's good. Deuteronomy 32, and then we'll go to Revelation. And it says, Deuteronomy 32, verse 36 here, about worshiping all the pantheon, and not being really especially careful to not do that. And we have to read the word really to know exactly what describes Yahweh, to what his real modus operandi is, what his character, I should say, is. We find out by reading the scriptures. We could also get that by direct revelation, but if it disagrees or contrasts with what the scripture says, then that direct revelation is false, and we should discard it. If you're getting a word out of thin air, or as it were, from the Spirit, you think, but it's saying something different than what this says here in the Scripture, then throw it out. Because we don't want to wind up like in those in Revelation 20, as we look forward to that time when the dead are judged. So, a word to the wise, as our principal used to say, is sufficient. For Yahweh shall judge his people. And see, he's not going to let everybody just in and give them a free get into heaven card or get out of jail free card. Yahweh will judge his people and repent himself for his servants when he sees that their power is gone and there is none shut up or left or in slavery. There is none slave nor free. And he shall say, where are your Elohim, their rock in whom they trusted? Where are your gods, your Elohim, that they trusted in, which did eat the fat of their sacrifices and drank the wine of their drink offerings? Let them rise up and help you and be your protection. No, these vain idols, these wooden statues or symbolic ones or spiritual gods and peoples in their lives are unable to help at all because they're dead. They're vain and useless. Let them rise up and help you and be your protection. See now that I am he, and there is no Elohim with me. I kill and I make alive. I wound and I heal. Neither is there any that can deliver out of my hand, for I lift up my hand to heaven and say, I live forever. That's not Moses speaking. That's Yahweh the Eternal, or Yahovah the Father, the Eternal speaking. I live forever. If I wet my glittering sword and my hand take hold on judgment, I will render vengeance to my enemies and will reward them that hate me. So there's the hate crimes now being noticed and delineated. I will reward them that hate me. I will make my arrows drunk with blood. My sword shall devour flesh, and that with the blood of the slain and of the captives from the beginning of revenges upon the enemy. But rejoice, you nations, with his people, for he will avenge the blood of his servants and will render vengeance to his adversaries, and will be merciful unto his land and to his people. The end of the Song of Moses there in Deuteronomy, Deuteronomy 32. Then in Revelation, and that was from the King James here at the feast, Revelation 20 now, verses 11 to 15. Then I saw a great white throne, and the one seated on it, The earth and heaven fled from his presence, but no one was found for them. And I saw the dead, the great and the small, standing before the throne. The books were opened, and another book was opened, the book of life. And the dead were judged according to what was written in the books, according to their deeds. The sea gave up the dead that were in it, and death and Sheol, and death and hell, or death and the lower, and the grave gave up the dead in them. Then they were each judged, each one of them according to their deeds. Then the grave, or death and Sheol, were thrown into the lake of fire. This is the second death, the lake of fire, and if anyone was not found written in the book of life, he was thrown into the lake of fire. So, please, make sure that your name is being written in the book of life, in Yahweh's book. His little book, when he makes up his jewels and he comes to judge the living and the dead. Revelation 16 now, going back to 16, verse 15. Chapter 16. Behold, I'm coming like a thief. How fortunate it is. Oh boy, I can't believe they used that word. How blessed, maybe. But I have the Tree of Life out here, not the King James, so I'm going to just assume that's... How blessed is the one who stays alert and keeps his clothes on, lest he walk around naked, and they see his shamefulness. Then the spirits gathered the kings to the place in Hebrew called Har Megiddo. The seventh angel poured out his bowl into the air. A loud voice came out of the temple from the throne, saying, "It is done." And there were flashes of lightning and rumblings and clashes of thunder and great earthquake, such as never happened since mankind has been on the earth. So mighty was the quake. Then the great city was split into three parts, and the cities of the nations collapsed. Babylon the Great was remembered before Elohim, to force her to drink the cup of wine of his furious wrath. Every island fled away, and no mountains were to be found. Enormous hail, about 100 pounds each, or called a talent, enormous hail, 100 pounds each, falls from heaven on the people, and the people cursed Elohim because of the plague of hail. So extreme was that plague. So, in Revelation chapter 16, verse 15, I was right that the King James is superior in this interpretation here. Because the Tree of Life said, "Behold, I am coming like a thief." How fortunate, and that's from the Goddess of Fortune there, how fortunate is the one who stays alert and keeps his clothes on. Now, I'm not condemning all this Tree of Life version just because of one mistake. So we have to get to the best translation for that particular passage, no matter which version you happen to be using. There's a lot of versions I can definitely say stay away from. How fortunate is the one who stays alert and keeps his clothes on, lest he walk around naked and see a shamefulness. So let's go to the King James there then. I want to read that one. Okay, in verse 15, "Behold, I come as a thief. Blessed is he..." So the word blessed was correct. "Blessed is he that watches and keeps his garments, lest he walk naked and they see his shame." And he called them together into a place called in Hebrew tongue Armageddon. And the seventh angel poured out his vial into the air, and there came a great voice out of the temple of heaven from the throne, saying, "It is done." There were voices, thunders, and lightnings, and there was great earthquake, such as was not since men were upon the earth. So mighty an earthquake, and so great. And the great city was divided into three parts, and so on. And there fell, in verse 21, upon men a great hail out of heaven, every stone about the weight of a talent. And men blasphemed Yahweh because of the plague of the hail, for the plague thereof was exceedingly great. So it's a far superior rendition there in the King James in chapter 16 of the book of the Revelation of John. Okay. And we're about 55 minutes through the podcast, and we're going to go at this feast for quite a ways yet. The next scripture then is Isaiah. Let's go back to Isaiah chapter 2 now. No, I don't like to criticize this, the better versions. But I do like to make a critique of the better versions, because it just helps us to grow a little bit more when we recognize some of the weaker points. So, Yeshayahu chapter 2, the word which Isaiah, son of Amoz, saw concerning Judah and Jerusalem. It will come to pass in the last days that the mountain of Yahweh's house will stand firm as head of the mountains and will be exalted above the hills, so all nations will flow to it. Then many peoples will go and say, "Come, let us go up to the mountain of Yahweh, to the house of Yahweh, or Elohim of Jacob. Then he will teach us his ways, and we will walk in his paths, for Torah will go forth from Zion, and the word of Yahweh from Jerusalem." The word will go forth from Jerusalem, the word of Yahweh, the scripture. "He will judge between the nations and decide for many peoples. They will beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning knives. Nation will not lift up sword against nation, nor will they learn war anymore. Come, house of Jacob, let us walk in the light of Yahweh. For you have forsaken your people, house of Jacob. For they are filled with soothsayers from the east." Oh, I like that. That was great. Now, what's it say in the King James there in verse 6? "Therefore thou shalt have forsaken the people of the house of Jacob, because they replenished from the east, and soothsayers like the Philistines, and they pleased themselves and the children of strangers." They pleased themselves. Now let's see, back to the living, back to the tree of life. "You have forsaken your people, house of Jacob, for they are filled with soothsayers from the east, and they have clapped hands with the children of foreigners." That reminds me of, should I say, standing in the wrong assembly at the wrong time. "Their land also is full of silver and gold, nor is there any limit to their treasures. Their land also is full of horses, nor is there any limit to their chariots." Now, don't go out and check the parking lot. Most people most of them just have new cars in America. I don't know why they want to go on credit, but they do. "Their land also is full of idols. They worship the work of their hands, what their own fingers have made. So humanity bows down as each one lowers himself. Pardon them not. Enter into the rock and hide in the dust for fear of Yahweh and the splendor of his majesty. The man of haughty eyes is humbled, the lofty ones brought low. For Yahweh alone will be exalted in that day." Yes, a man will not be known for his bumper stickers or the size of his SUV, nor what that he goes to this assembly or that, or who's the prophet. No, for Yahweh will be exalted in that day. The day of Yahweh, Shavuot. And that's verse 12. And it says in the King James, "I lofty and lifted up, Yahweh of hosts." Oh yes, of course I should know that. That we should know that Yahweh Shavuot is Yahweh of hosts, will be against any proud and haughty one, against anyone lifted up. He will be humbled against all the cedars of Lebanon. They are lofty and lifted up against all the oaks of Bashan. Against all the high mountains, against all the exalted hills, against every high tower, against every fortified wall, against all the Tarshish ships, and against all the luxury boats. The pride of man will be humbled, the arrogance of man abased, will be abased, for Yahweh alone will be exalted in that day. Verse 18, "The idols will completely pass away. People will go into the caves of the rocks and into the holes of the earth because of the fear of Yahweh and the splendor of his majesty when he arises to shake the earth. In that day a man will cast away his idols of silver and his idols of gold." And sometimes those idols, by the way, are just spiritual idols, and sometimes they are physical ones in our life. "Silver and gold, which they have made to worship, to the moles and to the bats. They go into the clefts of the rocks and the crevices of the crags because of fear of Yahweh and the splendor of his majesty when he arises to shake the earth." Verse 22, "Stop trusting in mankind whose breath is in his nose, For what is he really worth? For what is he really worth? Well, if he's trusting in Yahweh, he's worth everything that Yahweh has put into him. Yes, Yahweh has blessed us. I don't know if I said that right, but anyway, he's worth to Yahweh as a pure bride, adorned and blessed and perfected. Purity could be the word for Kodesh that we see in the scriptures. Purity instead of that holy word there. The purity of Yahweh's people. Zechariah 14 now, about this Feast of Tabernacles. And it's one that you're quite familiar with if you've been around the feast days. We can go all the way through this, and if you would like, you could skip this part, and then we'll finish up with Micah 4. Luke 4 just says, for man is not to live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of Yahweh. So that's what that is in Lucas 4 on your notes. But Zechariah 14, yes, concerning the Feast of Tabernacles. I'm reading for that Tree of Life again. And I perceive we won't have any problems with it. But if we do, I'll probably point it out as a warning, not meaning a real terrible, judgmental, bad warning, but as a, hey, call attention to it. Behold, the day of Yahweh is coming, when your plunder will be divided in your midst. I'll gather all the nations against Jerusalem to wage war. The city will be captured, the houses ransacked, and the women ravished. Half of the city will be exiled, but the remainder of the people will not be cut off from the city. Then Yahweh will go forth and fight against those nations as he fights in the day of battle. In that day his feet will stand on the Mount of Olives, which lies to the east of Jerusalem, and the Mount of Olives will be split in two, from east to west, forming a huge valley. Half of the mountain will move toward the north, and half of it toward the south. Then you will flee through my mountain valley, because the mountain valley will reach to Azel. A-Z-E-L. Yes, you will flee like you fled from the earthquake in the days of King Uzziah of Yehuda. Then Yahweh, my Elohim, will come and all the Kedoshim with him. In that day there will be no light, cold, or frost. It will be a day known only to Yahweh, neither night nor day. Even in the evening time there will be light. Moreover, in that day, in verse 8, moreover in that day, living waters will flow from Jerusalem, half toward the eastern sea and half toward the western sea, both in the summer and in the winter. Yahweh will then be sovereign over all the earth, or the word king here is acceptable. In that day Yahweh will be Echad, and his name Echad. And that means wholeness, oneness. His name will be one. You won't have all these different titles, common names and all that stuff. We're going to proclaim Yahweh's name. YHVH will proclaim the Tetragrammaton, Yahweh's pure name, to even the heathen. Verse 10 now, of Zechariah 14. The whole land from Geba to Rimmon, south of Jerusalem, will become like the Arabah. Jerusalem will be raised up and occupy her place from the Benjamin gate to the place of the first gate, to the corner gate, and from the tower of Hananel to the king's wine presses. People will dwell in her, and no longer will there be a ban of destruction. Jerusalem will live in security. Now this is the plague with which Yahweh will strike all the peoples that wage war against Jerusalem. Their flesh will rot while they are standing on their feet, their eyes will rot in their sockets, and their tongues will rot in their mouths. It'll happen that day that a great panic from Yahweh will be among them. Each person will seize the hand of his neighbor, and they will attack each other. Even Yehuda will fight at Jerusalem. That's the plague that will strike the peoples that wage war against Jerusalem. And right now at this time they are gathering to wage war, including Russia and the Islam nations. Even Judah will fight at Jerusalem. The wealth of all the surrounding peoples will be gathered together, an abundance of gold, silver, and apparel. the wealth of all the surrounding peoples gathered together. A similar plague will strike the horse, the mule, the camel, the donkey, and all the animals in the camp. 16, then all the survivors from all the nations that attack Jerusalem will go up from year to year to worship the king, Yahweh Shavuot, and to celebrate Sukkot, Feast of Tabernacles, just like we're doing right now. Furthermore, if any of the nations on earth do not go up to Jerusalem to worship the king, Yahweh Shavuot, they will have no rain. Now, I think that could be spiritual as well as physical, as well as material. Rain, the spiritual rain is falling on us right now. Yahweh's rain. Send down the rain into our hearts. And let us be filled with a Ruach HaKadosh. So now verse 18, if Mitzrayim or the Egyptians do not go up and celebrate, they will have no rain. So they won't have a blessing. Instead, there will be the plague that Yahweh will inflict on the nations that do not go up to celebrate Sukkot. Yes, this is one of the premier feasts of the scriptures. One of the three big feasts found in Exodus 23. This will be the punishment of Egypt and the punishment of all the nations that do not go up to celebrate Sukkot. This also reminds me, by the way, parenthetically, it reminds me of so many Protestant churches that rebel, and they've even written great books against Yahweh's feast days and against the Sabbaths and Sukkot. Well, so here's the punishment in that day. Pureness to Yahweh will be inscribed on the bells of the horses, and the pots in the house of Yahweh will be like the sacred bowls in front of the altar. In fact, every pot in Jerusalem and in Yehuda will be pure or kadosh to Yahweh Shavuot, so that everyone who comes to sacrifice will take them and cook in them. In that day there will no longer be a Canaanite in the house of Yahweh Shavuot. A Canaanite or merchant. Canaanites, especially Phoenicians, were merchant traders. Micah 4, and the law will go forth from Zion, the Torah goes forth. And may you have a wonderful Shalom, wonderful Sukkot, a wonderful Haggag, Chag, that's Hebrew, Hag or Chagag, for traveling, for dancing around in the feast, and rejoicing before Yahweh, rejoicing every day, not only at the feast, though, but every day of your life, and may he be truly blessed. Also, I left out a couple of other scriptures. No, I didn't. Okay, Micah 4 now. But at the end of days, and I'm reading from Tree of Life again, that in the end of days, the mountain of Yahweh's house will be established as chief of the mountains and be raised above the hills. Peoples will flow up to it. Then many nations will go and say, come and let us go up to the mountain of Yahuwah, to the house of the Elohim of Jacob, or Yaakov, and he will direct us in his ways, and we will walk in his paths. For the Torah will go forth from Zion, and the word of Yahuwah from Jerusalem. So the where is the government going to be established? Where is the demarcation, the timeline? When does our day start? Where is it reckoned from? Is it reckoned in the middle of the Western Pacific Ocean? The international dateline? Is it reckoned from Greenwich? From Greenwich Mean Time? No, it's reckoned from Jerusalem. The Torah will go forth from Zion, and the word of Yahweh from Jerusalem. He will judge between many peoples and decide for mighty nations far off. And then verse 4, each man will sit under his vine and under his fig tree with no one causing terror, for the mouth of Yahweh Shavuot has spoken. Yahweh of armies, Yahweh of hosts has spoken. All the peoples, plural, will walk each in the name of his Elohim, so we ourselves will walk in the name of Yahweh Eloheinu forever and ever. In that day, it is a declaration of Yahweh. I will gather her who is limping, and her who is banished will I collect, even those whom I have afflicted. I will make her who is limping into a remnant, and her who is banished a mighty nation. Yahweh will reign over them on Mount Zion from that time and forevermore. But you, watchtower of the flock, are the hill of the daughter of Zion. To you she will come, even the former dominion will come, the kingdom of the daughter of Jerusalem. Why we hear the daughters of Nile, different groups and organizations, but how about the daughters of Jerusalem, of which you are? The kingdoms of the daughter of Jerusalem. Why are you crying out aloud now? Is there no sovereign within you? Has your counselor perished so that agony has gripped you like birth pangs? Writhing and giving birth, daughters of Zion, like a woman in labor. For now you will go forth from a city, you will dwell in the field, and you will come as far as Babylon. There you will be rescued, that Yahweh will redeem you from the hand of your enemies. But how many nations have assembled against you? Those who are saying, let her be defiled, and let our eyes gaze on Zion. But they do not know about Yahweh's thoughts, nor understand his plan. For he has gathered them like grain to a threshing floor. Arise and tread, daughter of Zion, for I will make your horn iron. I will make your hooves bronze, B-R-O-N-Z-E, your hooves bronze, and you will thresh many peoples. I will devote their unjust gain to Yahweh, their wealth I will devote to the master of all the earth. Now gather yourselves in troops, O daughter of troops. He has laid siege against us. With a staff they have struck the judge of Israel on the cheek. But you, Bethlehem Ephratah, least among the clans of Yehuda, from you will come out to me one to be ruler in Israel, one whose goings forth are from of old, from days of eternity. That's in Micah 5. Therefore he will give up. He'll give him up until the time when she who is in labor is given birth. Then the remnant of his brothers will return to Benai Yisrael. So he will arise and tend his flock with the strength of Yahweh and the majesty of the name of Yahweh. And they will live securely, for then he will be great to the ends of the earth. This one will be Shalom. Yes, talking of the Messiah, who was born from the Virgin Miriam about 2,000 years ago in Bethlehem. This one will be Shalom when Assyria invades our land, when he treads in our citadels. Then we will raise up against him 7 shepherds and 8 human princes. They'll devastate the land of Assyria with a sword, even Nimrod's land with a drawn blade. He will deliver us from Assyria when he invades our land, when he tramples on our territory. And then verse 13, I will uproot your Asherah poles from among you and destroy your cities. I will execute vengeance and anger and wrath on the nations. They have not listened. Then in the next chapter, Micah 6, Yahweh pleads his case to contend with the mountains and let the hills hear your voice. But tomorrow morning, we'll have another service. We'll have a great time of prayer and praising Yahweh. And, bring your tallit, or at least wear your tzitzis on the 4 corners of your vesture. Have the robes of righteousness ready, the tokens of your virginity. Let that be exposed not only internally but externally in Yahweh's presence, because it's a very awesome, serious time to be in the presence of Yahweh in his throne room and to lift up these mighty prayers. And what a great time. We don't do this every day or every Sabbath day. For some, every Sunday. We just don't do it all the time. You know, we need to continually do that and have the realization that Yahweh is King of Kings, Mighty One of All, Sovereign of Sovereign, and He is Sovereign of our life in every aspect. You know, whether in the vacation time, in the kitchen or the bedroom. But we shall gather and we shall obey we shall honor him and praise him each and every day of our lives until Yahweh comes back. So hope you'll be ready. Have your garments ready. Have your robes of righteousness. The word of Yahweh. Have the full armor of Yahweh on as we prepare that rather soon, I believe, looking at the various signs around us, news events and things all seem to be pointing that most leaders are pretty much in agreement that this is it, that we are really closer than we have ever been to the second coming of Yahweh, and the enemy, the nations, are surrounding Israel, surrounding Jerusalem, and taking more land and afflicting the people. Anyway, it also is afflicting the good people, Yahweh's own children, and he will recompense, and he will bring righteous judgment to all of this. And for mercy, he will give mercy if there still needs to be an opportunity for that. Are you ready for tomorrow? Oh, I sure am. It's all the evening service is tomorrow. We are here now for that next day of the great wonderful time of feasting with Yahweh, partaking of the great foods and fellowshipping together. Yeah, how could we ever discard all this and treat it as a unclean or a common thing? No, we want to celebrate, and praise Yahweh, and refreshed and renewed inside, so that when we go out at the end of this feast, we'll have plenty of spiritual momentum, spiritual pep to make it to the next feast, or at least to the next day, even as we some of us live in terrible conditions, and it's not the best situation that I would choose. And some of you really need a lot of prayer going back into Babylon, as it were. But always remember, look back to these good times and look ahead to the good times with Yahweh. Look forward to the next feast, Feast of Sukkot, the premier experience with Yahweh's people, and not to diminish any of the other feasts, such as Shavuot, Pentecost, or Passover, which is called Pesach. At the new year, we celebrate the new year around the pagan month of April. So we're looking forward to all of that, to more feasties, more believers getting around and organizing some sort of events of during the festivals, these Haggag traveling feasts, that is Passover, Shavuot, and Sukkot. May you sleep well tonight. Yahweh protect you, bless each and every one, and protect you. And we give him thanks. Give Yahweh thanks for everything that he has provided, all the great foods and fellowship and teaching and things to come. So praise Yahweh. Praise him at this very, very time, this very important, integral time to be spiritually, completely, almost literally in the presence of Yahweh, even more than some of our prayer closet experiences. So enjoy Sukkot. Praise Yahweh. Keep looking up. Maranatha. This is Stefan Yah from the website www.yahweh.name.